Good afternoon, ladies, and welcome. Baruchot haba'ot. I hope you all had an inspiring, enlightening, and elevated chag. On this holy day of Zot Chanukah, I wanted to inspire you with some divrei Torah from this week's parasha. As you know, this week's parasha entails the climax of one of the most striking stories in Sefer Bereshit. It depicts the long saga of Yosef HaTzadik and the brothers. And in this particular parasha, Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers after having kept his true identity from them. The scene in which Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself is a very dramatic one that touches the heart. Everything that had been bottled up in Yosef's heart burst forth, and upon his revelation, the brothers are shocked, they are speechless, they are frozen in their tracks, and they can't even react. And Yosef notices their fear and he calms them by telling them that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who willed this episode to be so. He was informing them that the entire ordeal was orchestrated by the Ribono Shel Olam, and that they were all merely chess pieces on the chessboard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was simply moving the pieces around in order to get him to come down to Mitzrayim, so that ultimately the process of the Galut would take place as was foretold to Avraham Avinu Alav HaShalom. Yosef at this point presents us with a great lesson in Emunah, ladies. If anybody here needs a little bit of strength, a little dose of Emunah v'Bitachon, this is the parasha that you should be tuning into. This is the shiur you should be listening to. Don't forget that Yosef was a man that was wronged by his brothers, and wronged is an understatement. At the age of 17, when he was just a young boy, beginning his life, he was thrown into a pit filled with snakes and scorpions. And if that were not enough, his brothers sold him to a pack of Ishmaelim for 20 coins and a pair of shoes. It was undoubtedly a traumatic experience for Yosef. And don't forget, after that he sold again to Potiphar and had his crazy situation in the house of Potiphar with his wife, and then he's thrown into prison where he resides there. Resides is a good word, where he's forced to live as a prisoner for 12 years. And his reaction after 22 years of a nightmare is, it's all from Borei Olam. Ladies, this is a model example of faith and acceptance, because this is not an easy task. To endure such events and then to have an attitude that it was all min hashamayim is a lesson to us all, especially in this generation that we're living in today. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh Alav HaShalom tells us that Yosef's reaction to the brothers, it was genuine. He meant every word and he said it with true conviction. So let's delve into the psukim so we could gain insight as to their magnanimous power, because today, ladies, we're going to learn what it really means to be a compassionate and loving Jew. We're going to learn that the greatest of people are the ones who, after a distressing episode caused by their own family members, can still find it in their hearts to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the circumstance, while managing to draw forth from within them the greatest compassion for their fellow Jews. Nevertheless, we begin. Following Yehuda's famous speech to Yosef, the pasuk says the following: Velo yachol Yosef leitapek, vayiten et kolo bivchi. And Yosef could no longer restrain himself after this speech of Yehuda, and he began to cry out loud. The Midrash teaches us concerning this pasuk that just like Yosef consoled his brothers through tears, through crying, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us through tears. It's written, Bivchi yavou uvetachanunim ovilem. The Geula will come with tears and with tachanun. So let me give you an example, ladies, of what a tear can accomplish. There was a young man named Avraham Abish who came from a family of Talmidei Chachamim, but he himself was not blessed with wisdom or understanding. As a little boy, he tried very hard to understand what the Melamed, what the Rebbe was teaching him, but he just didn't get it. And it wasn't due to a lack of effort. He just couldn't understand the material, no matter what it was. And he couldn't even read the words well enough in order to translate even the easiest psukim. Everybody around him was sure that he would remain an Am Haaretz for the rest of his life. So obviously, when he grew up, shiduchim were very scarce. So when his father was able to make a long-distance shiduch with a nice girl from a chash of a family, he jumped at the chance. There was only one problem. You see, the minhag in those days was that the chatan would travel to the kala and would be honored by leading the benching, by leading the birkat hamazon. Now, this was a problem for poor Abish. So he made a decision that he would try to learn it as well as he could. He traveled with his father and brothers on the way to this big l'chaim, and on the journey he practiced the Birkat HaMazon, hoping that by the time he gets to the Kala, he'd know Birkat HaMazon perfectly. Meanwhile, they stopped at an inn to sleep there, and when Abish began to practice the Birkat HaMazon, he botched up again, he messed up, and he was afraid that the same thing would happen in front of his Kala and in front of all the guests. So he ran out of the inn and into a forest across the road. The forest was pitch dark, but he ran deeper and deeper into it until he fell to the ground. And then he began to cry bitterly, and he said, Ribono shel olam, if it's your ratzon, if it's your will that I should be a fool and am haaretz, I accept it. But then why did you have to put me in a chash of a family with a father and brothers who are such talmidei chachamim? Why didn't you just put me in a family of simpletons? And he cried and he cried for such a long time until he fell asleep from exhaustion. And he had a dream. In his dream, he saw a malach that promised to be with him throughout his journey of life. He was reassured by this malach that he had nothing to fear, that this malach would help him understand Torah, understand the words, understand the letters. But Abish was not allowed to reveal this to anyone. And in his dream, he agreed and he woke up. The next day, at the L'chaim, his brothers were so worried that he would disgrace them that they didn't even show up to keep him company. Could you believe this? They assumed he would probably know how to fend for himself. However, when Abish stood up before that big crowd, he felt his malach by his side, and he began to speak with such a sense of confidence, with such a calm, and to the amazement of all the guests who were sitting there, wellsprings of Torah poured forth from his mouth. Abish would never be the same again. He always felt that presence at his side, and that presence is what helped him to become the great Rav Abish Frankfurter, who was a great rabbi and a genius in Torah. It's amazing, ladies, what tears can accomplish, if those tears are the tears that you cry for the right things in life. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my dear children, don't cry over a loaf of bread, over your parnasah. Rather, cry for the important things in life. Cry about the oppression of this galut and how the enemy surrounds us. Cry about the pain and the suffering that your friends are enduring. Cry about all those people that haven't found their place in this world. You should be crying about the troubles of the world, the troubles of your city, the troubles in your neighborhood. Why aren't you crying about the lack of tzniut and kedusha? Umadu lo tevakshu lachazor leavichem shebashamayim. Why don't you cry and ask to return to your Father in heaven? Do you think that I don't wish to redeem you? Hashem says, Chaz v'shalom, im atem bagalut, gam ani bagalut. If you are in exile, I am in exile with you. Im atem betza'ar, gam ani betza'ar. If you feel pain and sorrow, I'm always feeling that pain together with you. This is what the Chachamim explain, is the concept of being redeemed through tears. The tears have to be ones that are genuine and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the proper requests. The tears have to be ones that are coming from the right place, but they have to be there. And instead of asking for ourselves, for the mundane, why do we not ask to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace? B'mele, if we would ask to be returned to our rightful place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create all the miracles in the world for us. We would not lack for anything. But this is why Yosef could no longer restrain himself and why he cried out loud. All the tears he was holding back welled forth from within him, and he was hinting to his brothers when he said, Ani Yosef, why do you not recognize me? Why can't you see that I'm your brother? And when Yosef made this bold statement, at that moment, the darkness before the brothers' eyes was lifted, and suddenly everything became clear to them. This one simple declaration on Yosef's part clarified everything. He lifted the dark cloud of their chet from above them, and the light shone through. And in the future too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself to us, he'll say, Ani Hashem, and then everything is going to be clear to us, and we're going to be able to understand why we had to endure this long and painful galut, why we had to go through the challenges that we go through on a daily basis. And the same holds true for that ultimate Yom HaDin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal to us what we chose not to see during our own lifetime. Ladies, we live every day with that black cloud that looms over our eyes, and we just don't see what it is that's precious, what it is that's valuable, what it is that's ours for the taking and for the holding. So, ladies, just a suggestion. Don't push off for tomorrow what you could do today. Don't allow the dark cloud of everyday life to blind you from recognizing the people in your life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kindly sent your way as a gift. You have to learn to appreciate the here and now. There's no need to wait 22 years, as the brothers did, for the revelations of your life to occur. Im lo achshav ei matai, if not now, when? So I want to analyze Yosef's reaction for a moment. Yosef says to the brothers, Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai? I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Chachamim explained that Yosef's choice of words was in order to give his brothers tochacha, to give them musar. And there was a lot that he was attempting to teach them in those few words. But where do we see in Yosef's words that he rebuked his brothers? Where do we see the tochacha? Where do we see the musar in these few words? Says the Beit HaLevi, alav shalom, that the word tochacha comes from the word hochacha, which means proof. Yosef proved to the brothers that they sinned by pointing out their own words and using their own words in reverse. What does that mean? I'll explain it to you. Yehuda, in this week's famous speech to Yosef, he begs Yosef to have compassion for Yaakov, his father, because Yaakov Avinu would die from pain if Benjamin would not return with them. So Yosef answers Yehuda, Ani Yosef. In other words, the hidden message was, I am the same Yosef whom you sold to Mitzrayim. Ha'od avi chai? Is my father still alive? Yosef was saying, you want to speak to me about the pain of my father? Why didn't you think of the pain that you would cause him all those years ago when I was only 17? Why weren't you worried that you'd cause him pain just like you feel the worry for our father now? If you felt he could withstand the pain of me being dead, then I assume he could withstand the pain of having to lose Benjamin. Therefore, all of a sudden it says, Nivhalu mipanav. They became frightened and they couldn't respond to Yosef because they were caught by their own words. And the Beit HaLevi says that this is how it's going to be in the future. On that ultimate Yom HaDin, when a person meets his Creator, that day will also be a day of tochacha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prove to each person his sins according to his own words. Ladies, in other words, you're going to end up putting your own foot in your mouth. For example, when you'll be asked, why didn't you give more tzedakah? You might answer, because I didn't have enough parnasa to be able to give more tzedakah. What could I do? And the Beit Din is going to tell you, Oh yeah? You didn't have enough parnasa? Well then how come you had enough money for the various pleasurable items that you purchased? How come you had enough money to go on vacation? How come you had enough money to buy yourself a latte almost every day? How come you had enough money to buy those expensive pair of shoes? For that you had enough money? You understand? When we're going to be asked, how come you weren't there enough when your friend was going through a very rough time? And you might say, I was so busy doing other things, my own agendas. Right? Aren't you supposed to take care of your own family members first, no? And the Beit Din's going to say, oh yeah? That's your answer? Then how come you gave yourself time for leisure activities? How come you made time for the things you felt were important, the things that gave you joy, the things that made you feel a sense of relaxation? For that you found the time, right? Ladies, this is how they're going to prove our wrongdoings in Shamayim, through our own words. So you have to be very careful. The former Belzer Rebbe, Alav HaShalom, said on this pasuk of Ani Yosef HaOd Avichai, that Yehuda had a ta'ana, had a complaint against Yosef. What was his complaint? What was his ta'ana? He said the following. He said, wait a second here. Yosef, you're not judging this situation fairly. Benjamin stole the gavia, and therefore he deserves the punishment. But my father, who's an old man, he hasn't done anything to you. So by you taking away Benjamin from my father, it's as if you're punishing my father when he doesn't deserve this punishment. Is this a fair judgment? Is this a fair decree, Your Highness? And Yosef answers them, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, the one whom you sold because you thought that I did something against you. But Ha'od Avichai, did you think about the pain that you inflicted on my father that could have died as a result of the heartache? If I sinned against you, why was my father blamed for this? Why did you cause him so much pain for 22 years? For what? So the same question you're asking me, I'm asking you. Was your judgment a fair judgment? Ladies, the beauty of Yosef's Musar is that he doesn't torment the brothers with words. He could have made them feel like 2 cents. Instead, he uses their words to teach them the lesson, but in a manner that wasn't degrading. He attempted to preserve their kavod even after everything that transpired those 22 years. And that's why they're unable to respond to him. They have nothing to say. Yosef says, Ha'od Avi Chai? Is my father still alive? Why did he use the word Avi and not Avinu? He should have said, Ha'od Avinu Chai? Is our father still alive? But instead he uses the term Avi. Is my father still alive? Why does he do this? Ladies, the Kli Yakar, Alav HaShalom, says something so powerful on this Inyan. It's a tremendous Yesod, and something we all need to learn from and remember. Listen very closely to the Kli Yakar. Yosef was telling his brothers the following. If you could do what you did to a fellow brother, if you could sell me for a pair of shoes and 20 coins to a band of Ishmaelim and never look back, if you could strip me of my ktonet and dip it in blood and present it to our father and cause him so much pain, then that must mean that we don't share the same father. My father and your father are not the same father. Wow. What a powerful message this was. He was saying that they didn't treat Yaakov Avinu as though he was their father. Otherwise, they wouldn't have subjected him to the shock of Yosef's phony death. Therefore, it was as if Yosef was a son to Yaakov, but the brothers were like strangers. So Yosef was trying to tell them, listen, I could forgive you for what you did to me personally, because me ending up in Mitzrayim was Hashgacha Pratit. It was divine providence. But the suffering that my father experienced for 22 years, that was unnecessary, and therefore that's unforgivable. Ladies, this is a very powerful lesson, because how often do we behave cruelly towards people? How often do we mistreat people and then use Torah as our justification for the pain that we cause? How often do we say things that we shouldn't say and then we cause pain to another person? How often do we keep silent when someone needs our defense and we should speak out? Is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us? Is this what our Father wants to see? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu demand that we love each other and treat each other kindly? We share the same Father. So Yosef was saying, if you could bring yourself to act without compassion towards your Jewish brother or sister, if you could mistreat him and cause him such pain that he simply wishes to fade away into the background, then your Father and my Father are not the same Father. It's as if you are strangers to him. Otherwise, you wouldn't subject the Ribono Shel Olam to any pain as a result of your mistreatment and lack of sensitivity towards his other children. What a powerful message this is, ladies. If we could remember that we share a father, perhaps it may cause us to act differently the next time that we're tempted to treat someone unkindly or without compassion. The next time that we're tempted to open up our mouths and speak Lashon Hara v'Rechilut. The next time we spread a rumor, we have to remember this thought. I want to remind you that one act of kindness can be everlasting, and one word out of place can also have its everlasting effects. So let me tell you about an everlasting act of kindness. I'm going to tell you a story. Rav Moshe Lefkowitz, alav shalom, was a very chashuv rav. When he passed away, his cousin, Rabbi Yisrael Lefkowitz, who was 79 years old at the time, he came in from Borough Park to be at the Levaya that took place in Cleveland. When Rabbi Yisrael was asked to come up to give a hesped, he took his cane and he slowly walked to the front of the funeral hall and he proceeded to give one of the most memorable hespedim that those people heard. He turned to the Yaron and he said, Rabbi Moshe, I don't know if the passing of a 97-year-old first cousin once removed warrants one to fly from New York to Cleveland. However, I want to tell you why I'm here today. I'm here to say thank you. Every day we say in the tefillah of Yigdal, Gomel le'ish chesed kemif'alo, noten l'rasha ra kerish'ato. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays a person's kindness as per his acts of kindness, and one who performs acts of wickedness as per his acts of wickedness. The Gaon of Vilna, however, asks a question. The words in the tefillah should have read, Gomel le'ish chesed kechasado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs kindness to a person according to his kind deeds. Why change the terminology to kemif'alo? Instead of kechasado, we say kemif'alo, which means according to his deeds, according to his acts, without the use of the word chesed, according to his chesedim. The Gaon of Vilna answered with a beautiful mashal. He said that there was once a poor man whose family was starving to death. And finally, out of desperation, he turned to a fellow Jew on the street and he said, Rabid, I'm so sorry to trouble you, but my family is starving to death and I have no money to buy any food. Please, can I ask you for some money so I can at least buy some milk, some bread, some vegetables? And as he pleaded, tears came rolling down his cheek. The Jew took out $20 and gave it to the poor man. And the poor man came home with the groceries and the family was so happy that they gobbled down the food. After 120 years, the Jew who gave that $20 went up to Shamayim and was given an enormous reward for having given the $20. Even though he gave much more money to other causes, the reward for this particular deed was well beyond what he could have ever imagined. So when he expressed his surprise at the reward he received for this deed, he was given such a meaningful explanation by the Bet Din Shalmala. The Bet Din told him the following, Rabid, you didn't just give this man a $20 bill. You saved his life, and with it you saved the life of his entire family forever. Therefore, says the Gaon of Vilna, this is why we recite the word kemif'alo instead of kechasado. Because when one performs an act of kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays him not only for that simple act, but also for the byproduct, for the derivatives of that one act of kindness, which could be so much. So although the deed may seem to be a simple one, indeed, it's so much more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only repays a person kechasado, but kemif'alo, according to all that's accomplished from that one deed. And the opposite is true as well, ladies, so we have to be very careful. And then at that point in the Levaya, Rabbi Yisrael then cried out and he said, turned to the coffin and he says, Rabbi Moshe, I come to you today like that poor man. I am that Ani. Because over 60 years ago, all my uncles perished in the concentration camps. But your father sent my father a legal document that managed to help him escape the fires of Auschwitz. So I'm coming to you as an Ud Mutzal Me'esh, as an ember that's been rescued from the fire. And I'm coming to say to you today, thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of myself, my wife, my grandchildren, and even my great-grandchildren, Ad Sof Kol Hadorot, I say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And it's for this reason that I came here today, because without the help of your family, of whom you were the last representative, we would never have survived. Ladies, this story should teach us to increase our acts of benevolence, of compassion, and humanity. We've all helped out somebody in need at some point in our life, but maybe there were times we didn't do it belev shalem, with a full heart. Maybe we didn't do it so much with simcha, with happiness. Maybe we even did it out of guilt. Some of us may have done it out of fear of what people are going to say if we don't respond. But if we bear in mind that one simple act of kindness can change someone's life forever, we would be more eager to perform the deed with hitlavut, with excitement. We have to also remember that the opposite is true. One deed, one word, one statement out of place can also have a lasting effect the other way. Moving on, I want to point out the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik, of whom, by the way, the Chachamim say that if there were four avot, Yosef would be the fourth one. Can you imagine? That's how great he was. Before Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he asks that all his Egyptian servants should leave the room. Why does he do this? Listen to the words of the Midrash Tanchuma. The Midrash says the following. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says, Lesakana gedola yarad Yosef. Yosef realized he was in danger. From what? She'im haraguhu echad. That if his brothers would kill him, En briya ba'olam makiro. There isn't a soul on earth who knows his true identity. Ladies, if that's the case, why does he command his servants to leave the room rather than to stay there and to protect him? You know why? Because he thought in his heart the following. Listen to the words of the Midrash. Mutav she'ehareg velo avayesh et achai bifnei ha-mitzrim. Better I should be killed than embarrass my brothers in front of the Egyptians. Do you hear this? Yosef knew that if he'd reveal himself to the brothers in front of the Egyptians, that it would be such a tremendous busha for them, such a tremendous embarrassment. So he sacrifices his own safety, his own life, by asking his guards to leave him alone with his brothers, unattended, unprotected, knowing that he might be killed by them. Why? To spare his brothers the embarrassment. Could you imagine? This is a pele plaot, ladies. After everything they put him through, he was still concerned about their dignity and honor. This midah of Yosef was remarkable. This is beyond normal. I'm going to give you another example of his greatness. After Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and he realizes, it's very obvious that his brothers are shocked, they're afraid, they're pretty much frozen in their tracks. Instead of taking the opportunity to torment them with words, to make them feel guilty, to bring the fear of God into them, to make them afraid, what does he tell them? He says the following. He says, Ve'ata, אל תעצבו. And now, my dear brothers, don't be sad. ואל יחר בעיניכם, כי מחרתם אותי הנה. Don't blame yourselves for having sold me to this place. And later on, he says, לא אתם שלחתם אותי הנה, כי האלוקים. It wasn't you who sent me to this place, but rather הקדוש ברוך הוא who willed it. Ladies, this is an amazing midah. It's so grand. It's colossal. The brothers wronged Yosef, and we said before, wronged is an understatement. They put him through the ringer. And after 22 years of a nightmare, he meets up with his brothers. The same brothers who put him through this traumatic ordeal. And what does he do? He attempts to calm their fears so that they should feel better. He tries to soothe their uneasiness and their regret. He attempts to put a smile on their faces. Now, ladies, don't forget who Yosef was. He was Sheni HaMelech. He was the viceroy of Egypt, second in command to Paro himself. He could have at this point used all his powers of influence to decree a very harsh punishment for his brothers as a form of revenge. That would have been the perfect opportunity to flaunt his tremendous success in spite of their plot to get rid of him. At the very least, he could have shamed them or embarrassed them. What happens instead? Yosef comforts them, and he tells them to offer thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that had happened. Tell me, this is not greatness? Is this not something we can all learn from? Yosef tells his brothers, you didn't send me here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Don't think that everything that took place was just a coincidence. We're merely tools in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. It's true that you sold me, but that's what the Ribono Shel Olam wanted. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who arranged that your actions should be the overall chain of events. Ani Yosef Achichem. I am Yosef, your brother. I loved you then, even while you were throwing me into the pit. Even while you looked down at me from that pit and didn't care one bit. Even when you neglected me while you sat together as a whole. Even when you left me out and made me feel alone. Even when you made fun of my halomot, of my dreams, even when you thought of me as little and you thought that you were the gedolim, even when you sold me out to a pack of Ishmaelim, but I love you now just the same. And now, my dear brothers, you shouldn't be sad or critical of yourselves, because everything that took place was the will of God, and you have nothing to fear because I am going to support you. Ladies, this is greatness in its purest and highest of forms. This is a tremendous lesson in emunah v'bitachon, on how to view the most difficult of circumstances, even when the difficulty is as a result of another person's unkind behavior. Today, ladies, we learned about compassion for our brothers and sisters, and the importance of one kind act, as well as the everlasting destruction of an unkind deed. We learned about forgiveness and about opening our eyes to what is God sent, how we have to appreciate the here and now. We learned about musar, rebuke, and our own hypocrisy. We learned about true love and outstanding sensitivity. We learned that we have the ability to see a challenging situation as a blessing in disguise. It's like, you know, the story of that old woman who came from another country, and she didn't know the language, and she was trying to read a newspaper. On the cover of the newspaper was a picture of Queen Elizabeth on her luxury liner with 1,000 people on board. And the old woman was holding a newspaper, and she started to cry. Look at the people. They're all drowning. Why didn't anybody save them? What a tragedy this is. And she's crying away. In the meantime, somebody comes into the room, sees her, and without saying a word, whoop, flips the newspaper around, and all of a sudden you see her going, "Ooh, oh, that's better." Ladies, one little adjustment, and everything becomes clear. But that adjustment has to be made. And sometimes it takes another person to help you make that adjustment. Ladies, yi ratzon, let us hope that in the merit of the shiurim that we attend and that we listen to, and the application of what we've learned, that it's going to help us to become better Jews, better children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and better brothers and sisters. And as a result of our efforts, of our ishtadlut, may the clouds above our own lives and in this world be removed soon, so we could ultimately see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in its complete state, and Greek Mashiach Tzidkenu. Od Machar, Amen, Ken, Yehi Ratzon.
Es ashir azoi ve helam do es bnei sruei ve atu ohi kis bulochem es ashir